This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Good morning, Macoupin County. Welcome to Mark My Words. I am Mark Duggar with the Macoupin County Farm Bureau. One of the reasons our country became a global superpower and a shining beacon for those searching for a better life is because our government is of, by, and for the people. Our democratic government empowers each of us to play a role in shaping our nation's laws and, if called on, to serve as an elected representative or leader. While we rely on elected officials to enact policies that will protect and promote our well-being and carry out the people's will, our job is to help inform their votes and actions. When I meet with federal and state government officials and elected representatives, I share our Farm Bureau priorities and the stories I hear from grassroots members across the country and state. These leaders and lawmakers come from all corners of our state, and while they are eager to hear from me, most are not directly accountable to me. They are accountable to the people in their districts. That's why telling your story to your elected officials is so critical. It's their job to speak for you, but they can't do that if they don't hear from you. While you can reach out to your representatives by phone, mail, email, and social media anytime, meeting them in person is one of the best ways to share your concerns. And in just a couple of weeks, Congress will start their annual August recess, a month-long break that members typically dedicate to traveling around their home states and districts to meet with the people they represent. This will be a perfect opportunity to make sure these representatives know how the issues they will be addressing in the fall affect you and your farm. I have seen how effective our grassroots members are and how our engagement and grassroots advocacy can impact policy. When proposals to eliminate stepped-up basis and increase capital gains taxes started to gain widespread support in Washington, our grassroots started sharing how these taxes would devastate their family farms. Farm Bureau helped share the story of North Carolina Farm Bureau member Ann Margaret Hughes, who, at 14 years old, had to empty her savings account to help her family keep their farm. Her college savings, 4-H winnings, and birthday money were all wiped out. If these proposals were enacted into law, this story would repeat itself across the country and lead to even more consolidation in agriculture. And stories like this are making a difference. More members of Congress are opposed to these proposals than just a few months ago. As our government focuses on combating climate change, telling agriculture's sustainability story has helped us shape climate policy. We are now seeing policies that recognize the leadership and work farmers put in for generations to leave their farms in better shape than they found them. Arkansas Farm Bureau member Mike Wood shared how he has been engaged in water conservation efforts for decades because our livelihoods depend on sustainable farming practices. We need clean water and healthy soil for our families and to raise our crops and livestock. Just a few weeks ago, the Senate passed rare bipartisan climate legislation that would help interested farmers navigate emerging carbon credit markets. Voluntary market-based policy. Just as we've advocated for, in today's political climate, bipartisan success is hard to come by, especially on climate policy. But this legislation received 92 yes votes because of the stories our grassroots have shared with consumers and their representatives. And as farmers and ranchers have shared their challenges with livestock marketing, as meat packers see increased income while the price for cattle falls, Congress and the administration have started to take action. The lack of broadband internet in many rural communities became more apparent than ever during the pandemic when families shared how their students couldn't join virtual classes or employees couldn't telework because of non-existent or unreliable internet. The results and progress we are experiencing for agriculture are possible because people shared their stories as we speak with a united voice. We need more voices to ensure we can effectively tackle the issues agriculture and our rural communities face. So take a few minutes and visit usa.gov/electedofficials to find the contact information for your senators and representatives and call to see if there are opportunities to meet and share your experiences. Consider inviting them to the farm to see firsthand the good work being done. Every story makes a difference to ensure a vibrant future for our family farms and ranches. Farm Bureau surveyed producers in 13 states in the western U.S. to find how drought conditions are impacting farmers. AFBF Associate Economist Danny Munch explained in Thursday's Newsline that the survey shows the severe drought is impacting farmers and ranchers' ability to operate profitably. Over 85% rated selling off portions of their herd or flock as prevalent or higher. 87% of respondents say there's an increase in feed costs associated with drought, according to Munch. Further, 77% of them reduce their acreage and see that as prevalent or high within their region. Many farmers are also dealing with water shortages, and some crop farmers report tilling under or destroying crops to deal with any potential future losses in production. USDA recently announced that agricultural producers and landowners can now apply for the Conservation Reserve Program grasslands through August 20th. The program will have new options that allow for greater incentives for producers, including a minimum rental rate of $15 per acre that is expected to impact 1,300 counties with rates currently below the minimum. Farm Bureau believes that land enrolled in CRP should be limited to only those site-specific locations in critical need of conservation measures, such as highly erodible land. In regions where working land conservation programs are better for the rural economy, general whole farm enrollments should be eliminated unless all acres on the farm meet the local criteria for conservation measures. Contact your USDA Service Center before August 20th for more information and to sign up. July is National Horseradish Month, so what better way to celebrate the sinus-clearing spicy root vegetable than by catching up with an Illinois Farm Bureau member and horseradish farmer near Collinsville, horseradish capital of the world. Dennis Hepke said his family has been growing the root for generations. It started in the 1940s with his maternal great-grandfather, but his father did not begin growing it in earnest until the early 1980s. Today, the Hepke farm sells 40,000-pound containers of horseradish to food processors in Ohio, New York, Wisconsin, and Maryland. The processors grind the root into a pulp and use it in sauces, condiments, or sell it plain for distribution worldwide. Hepke told FarmWeekNow.com that it is a family lineage thing, the horseradish industry. To find out more about that, look up FarmWeekNow.com. Representatives Angie Craig of Minnesota and Adrian Smith of Nebraska recently introduced the Year-Round Fuel Choice Act of 2021. Senators Deb Fischer of Nebraska and Amy Klobuchar of Minnesota led reintroduction of the Consumer and Fuel Retailer Choice Act. Both bills would ensure that the Environmental Protection Agency can grant reed vapor pressure volatility waivers to allow E15 and higher blend fuels to be sold at fuel retailers all year round. In light of the recent District of Columbia's Circuit Court's ruling, fuel retailers' ability to sell E15 during the summer months is in jeopardy. These bills would ensure that EPA can grant RVP waivers for E15 and allow consumers and retailers to access E15 throughout the whole year. Farm Bureau supports both bills. And on behalf of the Macoupin County Farm Bureau, where membership means value, I am Mark Duggar. Have a great day, and God bless America.